Brother Dawson. Appreciate the song. Jesus said, the gospel said, if the Son shall set you free, you'll be free indeed. And of course, Jesus is the Son that it's having reference to. And He does forgive sin, and He sets us free from the guilt of sin. I want to invite your attention to the fourth chapter of the gospel as recorded by Mark. I'll read probably the first nine verses from this chapter. Beginning at the first verse, and it reads like this. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's my lesson for this morning, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. As we said a few moments ago, our subject for today will be sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Now, the lesson that I read said that Jesus taught many things by parables. Now, a parable, of course, is an illustration. Many times when Jesus would begin a parable, he would say, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, you know, and then he would continue with the parable. And it would be an illustration of the doctrine that he was teaching. So he taught many things by parables, but he did not stray from his doctrine, you know. He would tell these stories. They were earthly stories about things that those who were listening to him could identify with. And he would use those things to present an eternal and spiritual truth. And so that was the method of teaching which the Lord Jesus did. And I wanted to talk about the kingdom of heaven. It says the kingdom of heaven is like unto. You know, the kingdom of heaven is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. I know that God reigns over all, and I know that that the whole world is his kingdom. I know that. And I know that those who are in heaven, they are with the Lord in the kingdom of God. That there's a special group of people on this earth that the Lord calls his church. And it is also known in the scriptures as the kingdom of heaven. Now I want to just share with you Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. You know, Daniel had interpreted a dream for a pagan king. And this dream was he had dreamed about this image, great image. And it had a head of gold and breasts of brass and arms of silver and legs of iron and feet of iron mixed with miry clay. And so Daniel interpreted that dream. And all of those different parts of that image represented different kingdoms of the world. It represented the Babylonian kingdom. It represented the Medes and the Persians. It represented Greece. And it then represented the Roman Empire. And so he said then in verse chapter 2 and verse 44 that in the days of these kings, he said, the Lord God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. He said it will stand forever, and it will not be left to other people. Now then we read about John the Baptist when he came. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness of Judea, and his message was, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he had the privilege of introducing the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preaching repentance for remission of sins. And he was baptizing those who had repented and had been saved. And Jesus came walking down toward the Jordan River. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so we read in the Bible then in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so Peter, speaking for the rest of the apostles, he said, some say that thou art Elias, some say that thou art Jeremiah, and some say others. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, and I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, Peter was just speaking for the church. The Lord Jesus, he took the people that John had prepared for him, and he established his church. It was made up of baptized believers. Peter was speaking for them. It was just not his personal opinion, but he was speaking for the group of people, the congregation that was gathered together there. And the Lord Jesus said, and I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Again, identifying the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as the kingdom of heaven. That was here on earth. Now, Peter was never the head of the church. None of the apostles were ever the head of the church. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that God made him head, made Jesus head over all things to the church. He has always been the head of the church. He's still the head of the church. And there's never been any man on this earth other than the Lord Jesus that's ever been the head of the church. This just points, to what I said about the kingdom of heaven being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also read where Jesus said when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said to the disciples, to the church, he said, I deliver unto you a kingdom as my Father has delivered unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You know, so the Lord's Supper, you know, it's a church ordinance, and Jesus placed it in the church, and he referred to it as being the kingdom. And then we notice the Lord Jesus, when he was before Pilate. Pilate was examining him, and Pilate said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "Thou sayest that I am." And he said, "For this purpose was I born, you know, and came into the world." And so all of these scriptures that I have referenced, where the kingdom of heaven is mentioned, is having reference to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus taught many things by parable and used them as illustrations. Now I want to notice in verse 3 of this lesson that I read in your hearing, and it tells us that Jesus said, "Hearken," and that word "hearken" means listen. He had something to say, something that these people needed to hear, this church needed to hear. He said, "Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow." And of course, this spiritual kingdom of the Lord Jesus, it has grown because of sowing and reaping. It has continued to exist from the days of the Lord Jesus up unto this present time through sowing and reaping. It has perpetuated. There has never been a day since the Lord Jesus started his church when there was not a working Baptist church in the world. It might not have been called a Baptist church, but it was. It taught the doctrines and the principles of the Lord Jesus. And even in the dark ages, some people say, you know, a church went out of existence. No such thing. Because Jesus made this promise. He said, "I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against thee." Do you know what the gates of hell are? The gates of hell is death, you know. People that are saved and people that are not saved. We live a certain number of years on the earth and then we die, you know. Church members are no different, you know. We go through the process of aging, you know, just like everybody else. And the time comes for us to die, you know. Well, if all of the church members died, you know, there would be no church. No church left. But the plan of God, the way he set it up, was so that as members grow older and they pass away, that other members have been saved and baptized, and they continue to carry on the work of the church, you see. And that's the way that it has perpetuated because of the sowing of the seed of the gospel. And because of that, people get saved and they take up the cross and they unite with the church and they're baptized into the fellowship of the church. And so although those who have been members for a long time die, there have been new members that have come into the church, and the church just keeps growing. And we have the promise of the Lord Jesus that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it's going to be here when Jesus comes again. Because the Lord Jesus made this promise. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So Jesus is going to come for us one of these days. And he's going to take us to be with him. But in the meantime, we have a responsibility as the church of the living God. I had to keep on sowing the good seed, the seed of the gospel, you know. The seed of the gospel. Three things in this parable that I want to talk about just for a little bit. I want to talk about the sowers, those who sow the seed. And I want to talk about the seed that they sow. And I want to talk about the ground that the seed is broadcast unto. First of all, I want to talk about the seed. Now, Jesus, you know, the seed of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And that means, it was preached to the God's chosen nation, but it's also preached to the heathen. All men everywhere, you know, should have the opportunity to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel is the seed. If you never hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus, you'll never be saved. The Bible says this. It says, how can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? He said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The seed is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about the power of a seed? You can just take one little seed and you could plant that seed in the ground. And it will, from that little seed will come a plant. And that plant, will bring forth hundreds or even thousands of seed itself, you know. From one seed will come hundreds of other seeds. You can plant a bushel of seed, and that will bring forth hundreds of bushels of seed. And that's the way it is with the seed of the gospel. We sow the good seed, it produces, it brings forth, other seeds then are sown. The gospel just keeps producing, It has been producing all down through the years, and it's still producing today. And I'm so thankful that I can preach the gospel, the glad news, the good tidings of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can preach it with confidence because in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's in chapter 55, I don't recall the verse at the present time. But it says this. I may have to turn and read it. I had it on the tip of my tongue, and it got away from me. Young folks, that happens to you when you get older. Things you start to say will depart from you. But in the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, I want you to notice this. He said, so shall my word be, which goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. We can preach it with confidence. This morning, I believe we have 2, 4, 6, there's 8 of us in this building today. But the gospel is going out, and many people are hearing the gospel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could hear of somebody out there who heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it fell on good ground, and it brought forth, fruit. It produced salvation in their hearts, and then they began to tell other people about what the Lord has done for them. They sow the seed, Now, I know there are some people that think nobody can share the gospel except preachers. Men have been called to preach, but folks, that's a mistake. God did ordain men. He calls men to preach the gospel, and churches ordain them and send them out. But you see, the responsibility of sowing the seed is the church, you see. The authority for every bit of it is in the church. And a brother or sister can stand up or sit down. You don't have to stand up even. You can share what the Lord has done for you. You can tell about the time and the place. When you heard the word of God and it got down in your heart, and it caused you realize that you were separated from God and you needed to be saved. And you called on the Lord and asked Him for mercy and for salvation. And the Lord saved you and gave you peace in your heart, and joy in the Lord. And so anybody can share that. And I'm telling you, it's powerful. This Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. I talked a while ago about the power of one seed. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And God's Word can reveal and show you your need of salvation. And God is long-suffering to us. He is merciful. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. And we have that verse in 2 Timothy. I believe it's in chapter 2, maybe verse 5, might be. But anyway, it says this. He said, the Lord would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so I'm thankful today for the power of the seed that we sow. It's our responsibility, to sow the seed. And the Bible said, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. It said that the reason it didn't bring forth was because it fell on by the wayside. That was in a pathway. It was on hard ground. There are a lot of hard-hearted people in this world. It seems like there's just no way to reach them at all. And they'll sit under the sound of the gospel, and it just doesn't affect them. And then along comes Satan, and he takes the word of God away from them, it doesn't produce in them because their hearts are hard. I tell you, you have to be responsive to the Word of God. You have to desire to be saved. The seed fell by the wayside. And the Bible, when Jesus explained this parable, said the wicked one came along and took the seed away. The birds of the air, they picked up the seed off the hard ground. It never did penetrate that hard ground. And so therefore, it never produced anything. And then he said, and some of the seed fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. Now, there are places in Warren County and other counties too, when the soil is not very deep. There is dirt on top, but underneath that soil, there's limestone rocks, so there's no depth of earth. It said some of the seed fell where there was no depth of earth. Immediately it sprang up. Now the warmth from the sun on those rock underneath that little bit of soil, it caused the seed to germinate and spring up just right away. But because there's no depth of earth and there's no moisture there, it just falls away, you know, brings forth no fruit. And then it said, and some of it fell among thorns. And you know, seed can be smothered out by weeds and grass, and good seed can be. So these thorns represents those who have so many cares of the life, you know. They're just involved in everything, and they just don't really take heed to the Word of God that's sown in their heart. But it said, listen, it said some fell on good ground, good ground. He describes that good ground as good and honest hearts. You see, so that hard ground would have been hard hearts, wouldn't it? So that stony ground would have been hearts, you know, that was not receptive to the Word of God. That seed that fell among the thorns, you know, represented hearts that were so involved with everything else that they just didn't take heed to the Word of God. But thank the Lord, some fell on good ground, you know. Ground, it wasn't hard. It had been plowed. You know, Hosea, the book of Hosea, it talks about, you know, breaking up your fallow ground. Now, fallow ground would be ground that had been broken at one time, but had been left dormant and had not been cultivated, you know, not been stirred. So he says, it's time to sow in righteousness, you know. But first, the ground needs to be broken up. It needs to be soft, you know. I'm thankful for the soft-hearted people that we have, you know. I tell you, they are moved with the Word of God. They are moved by the Spirit of God. They see their need of God, and they do something about it, you know. They yield, you know. Hard-hearted people don't yield, but soft-hearted people, they do yield to the Word of God. And so it's very important, you know, that we keep on sowing, you know. If we sow, we'll reap. Psalms 126 in verse 5, it says this. He said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and they who go about sowing precious seed shall doubtless, with weeping, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. You see. So I'm thankful for the brothers and sisters that keep on sowing the good seed. They have burdens for lost people. They want to see them get saved by God's grace, you know. So they just keep on sowing the seed. And we keep on having conversions. We keep on having people saved and born into the kingdom of God. So I pray God will bless this message today. You know, I don't know why God wanted me to preach this, but he did. And I've done the best that I can to try to show you how important it is, you know, for us to keep up the good work, for us to keep on keeping on. Even if we can't assemble in our church building, we can still keep on sowing the good seed, you know, wherever we are. And so as I bring this to a close, I just ask you to pray that God will bless this message and that God will use it for his name's honor and glory, that it'll bring somebody to Jesus and that they'll be saved by God's grace. Thank you so much for listening today. We will have a prayer of benediction after this song, but I want you to join in and sing with us this wonderful song, Victory in Jesus.